السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز, وی ہیو ہرڈ مینی مینی ٹائمز دیٹ اللہ تبارک و تعالی سینٹ رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ایز دا لاسٹ اینڈ فائنل میسنجر. آفٹر ہیم نو نبی کیم اور ول ایور کم. اے نبی وڈ کم وین دیر واز اے نیڈ, بٹ ایف دیر از نو نیڈ فار اندر نبی, then why should another Nabi come? All the Adiyan or all the prophets of the past, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they all predicted the coming of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Clearly in the Quran Sharif also it has been mentioned, and in many ahadith. With regards to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he was the last of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, or the last Rasul before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came. So there was always a need for completion and perfection of the Sharia. As far as the fundamental principles are concerned, there was no question of any kind of change, alteration or addition required. There was no question of one Nabi of Allah Ta'ala coming and saying that you must believe in the day of judgment, and another Nabi came and said, no, there's no need to believe in the day of judgment. Or one Nabi came and said you must believe in the oneness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and some other Nabi came and said there is no need to believe in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, the deen has now changed. It was only in those issues which we term as the juziyat or the furu'at, the masail of deen, the practices of the Sharia. Now there were different situations. There was a evolution of societies. Gradually everything was becoming perfected. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala announced it when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the plains of Arafat. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today I have perfected for you your faith, completed up my favors upon you, and I have chosen Islam for you as a way of life. That was perfection, completion. After that, whatever situation will arise, whatever new conditions will arise, in any part of the world, in any age or any time or any clime, there will be no need for a new Sharia. All that will be required is look into the Quran Sharif. The scholars of the time will look into the Hadith Sharif. They will look at all the different incidents in the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They will deduce, in other words, from the Quran and the Sunnah, and you will always find some kind of guidance. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with regards to perfection, in everything he was perfect. Even in the akhlaq, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Indeed, you are on the highest pedestal of sublime character. So in today's majlis, we will deal with akhlaq. That what were the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Because these majalis, as I said, for Islah purposes, my own Islah and those who are listening. Sometimes we run very, very quickly towards zikr, tilawat, make extra tasbihat. But when it comes to akhlaq, when it comes to the purification of our souls, when it comes to removing from our hearts the base qualities, and to introduce and develop in our hearts the qualities of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Salaha, develop the good akhlaq, you know, in our lives, then they will become very weak. So Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one of his riwayat, it has been stated that he mentioned that there are 12 things that are from the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. 12 things are from the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You won't find any Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that did not have these qualities or these sifat or these attributes in them. It was a characteristic, it was a trait. You could clearly distinguish. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had these 12 qualities in them. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had perfection. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they all had perfection in a sense. But with a complete deen, perfection was in the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had these akhlaq. The first thing was that they had great yaqeen on the promises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this is part of the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that they had full yaqeen and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's promises. Look at the Quran Sharif, the promises that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made on good deeds and good actions. Iman and amal salih. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. And then look at the number of promises in different places of the Quran Sharif. The number of promises that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made for the believers in Allah ta'ala. His nusrat, his help. Now all these things that have been promised. Or take on taqwa, for example, the promises that Allah ta'ala has made. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely find a way out for the person in his difficulties. He will provide for him sustenance from sources unknown to him, unexpected, something that he did not anticipate also. In different ways Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide. Now how much of yaqeen do we have on these promises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The kind of trust and yaqeen that we have on things do we have on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's promises? So they had this yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's promises. And Allah Ta'ala's promises were on Iman and Amal Salih. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of them doing anything that was displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. There was no question of them not having Iman. So they had both these things in their lives, Iman and Amal Salih. And in Amal Salih, it was obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in every aspect of life. So then Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were masoom, they were sinless. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected them from any kind of sin. So why should they not have this kind of akhlaq? But it is for us. These things are for us. There was no Nabi to come after Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So for whom did Hazrat Abu Darda relate this? It was for the people that were going to come till Qiyamah, people like us. That we must look into this, that these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they had these qualities, they had these sifat in them. That they had full yaqeen on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's promises. The second thing was that they had absolutely no hope or expectation from anybody. Makhluq se wo na umeed rehte the. It is of course what we understand as taking assistance and help from others. It's a world of means, so we take assistance and we take help. A person cannot put up the building himself. He will have to have some kind of hope on carpenters, on builders, on electricians, on engineers, on architects, different people will be involved. But here we are talking about that kind of hope that a person should have only on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That even if these people will be assisting in some way to construct the building, or if they are agents for a person who is selling items here and there, and they are on commission basis. So now this person expects that this person will go, he'll sell, and then he will bring some money, where I will give him his commission, and I will also make a profit. Or the person is running a business, or anything else. So we're not talking about that kind of hope that a person has. But they also, the deep down in his heart must be that it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is the provider. This agent of ours, he can go around the world and come back. But he will only be able to earn that much or sell that much, which is in his taqdeer, which Allah ta'ala has fixed as his sustenance. So there is no need to lose faith and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the second quality each and every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had was their trust in Allah, that they had no hope in any human beings. They didn't have expectations like we have. Major cause of our problems is expectations. I've discussed this in detail in some other majlis. That when we have expectation that this person should do this for me, this person should do this for me, he's my brother, so he should do this for me. He's my family member, so he should be doing this for me. They have great expectation that she's a wife, so that she must do these things for me. The husband has expectation, the wife has expectations, the children have great expectations. Everybody seems to have read Shakespeare's Great Expectations. Everybody just has great expectations. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, their expectation was in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That they truly believed that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one in whose hands our lives lie and success lies. So they had no expectations. So if you have no expectation, then there will be no disappointment. Disappointment comes with expectation. If I am expecting that so and so will give me a gift of so many thousand rand, or give me a watch, or give me a car, or give me some kind of gift. Now there's an expectation. Or the child has got that kind of expectation. That the parents will have a lavish wedding. The daughter is expecting that there will be a lavish wedding, there will be a hall, there will be decoration, there will be this, there will be that, there will be kunchas. Now if that doesn't happen, then there is a fight between the daughter and the mother, or the daughter and the father. Or the son has got great expectation. In the same way, the in-laws also, sometimes they have great expectations. That this daughter-in-law that is going to come, then she will be like our servant and slave. Or she will be able to do this for me and do that for me. And then I will relax. Now when they have that kind of expectation, it doesn't happen, then there's going to be fight. Or the daughter-in-law has got that kind of expectation. In everything you will see that once we put our expectation and hopes in human beings, then those human beings themselves, they do not have everything in their control. Nothing. And then how much will a human being give also? Human being after some time, then they will get annoyed and displeased. Why is this person asking all the time? But in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's treasures, there's no limit. And He is the real provider. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they don't have expectations or hope on anybody. Their hope is in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This world of means, they also use the means of this world. But their hope and trust is in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If only we can develop this quality, all the jagras and all the fitnas and all the fights and quarrels will all vanish. Because if a person helped, then alhamdulillah. And if he didn't help, then we say alhamdulillah. Both times we say alhamdulillah. Nothing. The person was expecting a big loan. And when he asked, the person turned it down. Although the person may have been rich and he's got plentiful. But if it has been turned down, then this person will not get disappointed and go into a cocoon and go and start swearing and cursing. Nothing. The person will say, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the mu'ti. He is the one who gives. So if he is going to cast his tajalli of ata on that person will give. The person who, on whose heart Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli of ata will be cast. That he is the one who blesses, who gives ni'mats and bounties. So then in that person's heart will come that I must give this person a loan, I must give this person some help, I must do something. But if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli of mane, Allah ta'ala also holds back. His bounties are held back. Allah ta'ala can stop. So if on that person's heart, that tajalli is cast, so then that person is not going to be able to help, no matter how much this person desires. So the one who has got his gaze on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is not going to fight with anybody. If the person's loan was rejected, or if the person was not helped in some special condition of his, then this person will say, Alhamdulillah. Under all conditions, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. For either he will have to make sabr or he will make shukr. If he gets it, he makes shukr. If he doesn't get it, he makes sabr. So once again we come down to the same thing, there's only two roots. But this improves the akhlaq of a person. At present, most of the quarrels are because of this. He didn't do this for me, he didn't do that for me. I was expecting this from him, I was expecting that from him. I had high hopes that this person will, after all the favors I did for him, he will also return the favors in this manner and that manner, but he didn't do it. Now once the person understands this philosophy, as we call it in inverted commas, then his heart will be at ease, there'll be contentment, there'll be qana'at, which is a great sifat. Now we can discuss this at length, but they say the second quality of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam was that they had no expectation of human beings. Solution to the problems they knew was in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's control. The third thing was they had great enmity. They had great enmity in their hearts. But for whom? That enmity was for shaitan. That enmity and dislike was for shaitan and nafs. It was not for human beings. This was a very conspicuous quality of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that as far as the makhluk is concerned, they had great love. They had great love. In fact, that love was even for the disbelievers, for the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahud. Meaning that they wanted to see the kuffar, that they wanted to see them also get hidayat and go into Jannah. Now you can only desire good if you got love in the heart. You can only desire good if you got love in the heart. That love for the kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, I'm talking about the time of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, was not for any other purpose. It was not the kind of love that is haram and forbidden to have, where a person makes the disbelievers his bosom pals and goes in their way of life. Here that love meaning that they want to see them also come out from the kufr and shirk, from the darkness of ignorance, and come into light and go into Jannat. That is what they had in their hearts. So the enmity and the hatred they had, but it was for whom? It was for shaitan. Now if the kuffar mushrikeen, they also became the followers of shaitan and they fought the Muslims, they came to battle, they engaged in war, so then that was because of that hatred for shaitan that they had to fight back. But otherwise their hatred in the personal lives you will find was for shaitan. That's all. Their enemy was only one, shaitan. Because shaitan is the biggest hijacker. So they hated and disliked shaitan. And again, the Quran Sharif tells us very, very clearly that shaitan is your enemy. Shaitan is your enemy, so you to make shaitan your enemy. So they hated and disliked shaitan, therefore I always say that lots of people, when they become angry, then they start saying that I will shoot you, I will kill you, I'll boot you, I'll do this, I'll do that. So now all those words that we use against human beings, those are the words we should use against shaitan. Address shaitan and tell shaitan, I'll shoot you, I'll kill you, I'll boot you, I'll throw you out, I'll stump you, I'll knock you down. Use it against shaitan. Who stops us? So shaitan is our declared enemy. Inna shaitana lakum adu. Shaitan is your adu, is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So you also make shaitan your enemy. So this is conspicuous in their lives, that their enmity was for no one but shaitan. For human beings, if the person has got some weakness, some evil, some mischief, some bad qualities, then we must dislike that evil in the person, but we must not dislike the person. The believer, if he's got some weakness, then we must dislike the weakness. Now we say that's impossible, how can we separate? So I've explained this many times, that it's not impossible. It is just like a person who has put boot polish on his face. A very, very handsome person with a shiny face, with a glowing face. Now he takes black boot polish and puts it on his face. So all that is required is to remove the boot polish, that's all. If he removes the boot polish, his face is once again shining brightly. We had eclipse of the moon, or eclipse, the recent one that took place. Now everything went dark. Now what was required? For the earth to move away from, in between, and once again it was bright. So like that, this person who is engaging in evil actions and deeds, it is in reality the evil actions and deeds which we are hating. It's not the person. Because that same person, when he starts changing his life, and now he becomes pious, righteous, he gives up his drug, wine, women, and stealing and crime, then we start talking again of that person. We say, what a pious person, what a good person, what a righteous person. So the person was the same. Before, when he was engaging in drink, drug, vices, women and wine and everything else, and now when he gave up all those bad habits, then his face hasn't changed, he's still the same. His body hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. What has changed? Is those evil actions and deeds in which he was engaging, he has given that up. So it means that that is what exactly which we were disliking. The person of bad character, it's really the bad character that we are disliking. So we can't say that we cannot separate it. We must think that this person can make tawbah, he can change, he can repent, he can regret, express remorse, plead and cry before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and before leaving this world, fulfill the rights of the people if he has trampled upon them. And he can start making his qazas, and he became waliullah, and he can leave this world. The whole history of Islam is filled with these type of incidents, where people were completely offbeat and off track, and they passed away as great waliullahs. Great, great waliullahs. Read the history. How many of them? Many, many of them. Some of them were gangsters. But when they made tawbah, they turned towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed them with hidayat. Then if it was some stolen goods and property, then they start searching for the people and returning it. If they had hurt and caused anybody injury and harm, they look for those people and try to ask them for forgiveness. If the person had passed away, you cannot find them, then they read and made dua for that person. Ya Allah, forgive that person's sins. Or gave some sadaqah for the isale sawab of that person. Now we say if they were disbelievers, then how it will help them? How it will help them is that there will be a decrease in the azab in Jahannam for them. they won't go into Jannat, but still there will be some decrease, because even in Jahannam there are different categories and different stages of people. Some will have extreme azab and some have less. But these people, they tried to clear this slate, wipe the slate clean. It's not that make tawbah, istighfar, so finish now, everything maaf. They went out of their way to look and search for those people. So that can happen, a person who is gone offbeat, but he can come on track. And he can become a waliullah and leave this world. So their enmity, the enmity of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, of the 12 characteristics that Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala mentioned. Third one was that their enmity, their hatred, their dislike was for no one else but shaitan. And the fourth thing is that the work that they were given, the task that they were given, every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was given a task. Although some were sent for one locality, some were sent for one community, some for one nation, it was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who was sent for the entire mankind. Kaffatal linnas, bashiran wa nazira. So whichever Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came into this world, whatever task they were given, then they occupied themselves in the fulfillment of that task. In other words, they were quite clear with what is an objective and what is just a wasila, a means. Eating and drinking, it is so that we may have good health. Eating, drinking, exercising, all these things is so that we may have good health. Now when we have good health, then what is the purpose of that good health? So that we may be able to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as we have been ordered. Every action of our life, if we do it according to Allah ta'ala's hukam, it's ibadat. So now the person got good health, so sometimes he's making namaz, sometimes making zikr, sometimes making tilawat, sometimes he is going to the bazaar and marketplace and earning his livelihood. Sometimes he's with his wife and children talking cheerfully, fulfilling the rights of the wife, fulfilling the rights of the parents. So now that health was for that purpose, to help the poor, the needy, he's got some strength and health in his body, so he goes out now and assists and help in calamities, in disasters or whatever it may be. So that health was for that purpose, not for zina. That health was not so that when we have good sight, so we may be able to watch more and more porn sites and haram. The person who's got no sight, will he do that? Or the person who's got no health, then can he go to the prostitute quarters and go to the escort agencies? And can he go and engage and indulge in zina? The person who's got no health is strapped to the hospital bed. Have you ever heard of him desirous? That, oh Allah, if you give me good health, then I can go one more time to the casino and disco. At that time, he may go, oh Allah, remove my pain, my sickness, my illness, so that I may be able to worship you. Oh Allah, forgive my sins, give me good health, so that I can do more ibadat. At that time, that is what he wants. Shaykh Saadi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that in Baghdad, when there was drought, and people were really, really starving, the famine, drought. Now at that time, the people, they asked them, what do you want now? Do you want food or do you want that mashuk of yours, that beloved of yours, illicit? So they leave the illicit beloved, get us food. Hunger is a thing that makes a person forget everything. The person who is starving, ask him what he wants. Tell him we will bring you half a dozen of your illicit beloveds. But just that for the next couple of days also you won't get any food. And see what he says at that time. Or if the gun is at the head of somebody, see at that time he says, let me just finish, because I'm addicted to cereals. Some cereal I'm addicted to is of breakfast, whether it's halal, and some other cereals I'm addicted to. So at that time we forget everything. At that time only Allah, Allah. Even the atheist, you go and throw him in the middle of the ocean, he'll make, oh God, help me, oh God, come to my assistance. He too will make Lord and gone there. So it is a weakness of our iman. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam we are talking about, that they were occupied in the task of this. They used to marry, every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala married. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he'll come down again, he too will make nikah. They had children. They also had to eat, they had to drink. In fact, that was one of the objections of the kuffar. مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَاكُلُ الطُّعَامِ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What's wrong with this? What kind of a Nabi is? What kind of a Rasul is? That he eats food and he walks in the bazaar. Now, to them, the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala should not be eating food and drinking. He should not be going to the marketplace. So for us, the lesson in there is that there is a task that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given. Our life must not be just wild away, useless, futile, nothing really constructive, nothing really productive. If somebody has to ask at the end of 60 years, 100 years, that what is that which this person accumulated in his lifetime, is there so many tons of food he had, and so much of liters of drink he had, and so many wives he married. Is that, or he left behind so much of gold and silver and so much of bank balance. So there has to be a separation of that which is our goal, which is our objective, and that which is a means to that goal. The means, the wasila is a different thing. An objective is different. Wazu is a wasila for namaz. Wazu the person makes for what? That now he's going to go and read namaz. Now zuhr time, the person comes here, sits at the wuzu khana and goes on and on and on making wuzu. You ask him that how long is going to take you making wuzu. He says, no, wuzu is an ibadat. Wuzu is an ibadat, so therefore I'm carrying on with wuzu. So the namaz time expired, zuhr finished, asr finished, maghrib finished, still making wuzu. Will anybody accept that as ibadat? The wuzu was so that now he finishes and goes and make namaz. Therefore, look at the ihsan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where we are prohibited to wash more than 3 times our faces and 3 times our hands and 3 times our feet. More than 3 times washing is not allowed. Unless for some valid reason the person has very, very strong conviction that some part of that hand or feet was left dry, then it's a different thing. But just on waswasa, just on doubt, the person goes on and on and on washing, then he'll never finish, the namaz will finish. So we are told wash 3 times, and if any person 3 times washes his face, or his hands, or his feet, then he will be able to accomplish that which is farz, and that which is sunnah also. Farz is once. Farz is only once, that means even once, if the person takes water in his hands efficiently and washes his face properly, he can accomplish it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been farz once. With the hands also, farz is once. Therefore, if the water is so little that you can wash your hands, your face, and make your masa and wash your feet properly once, then you can't say, I'll use up the whole water just for washing my face 3 times. And I won't wash my hands and I won't make masa, and I'll only make masa on my feet. It's not permissible. You must wash once, clearly indicating that the farz can be accomplished. So we are even accomplishing the sunnat by washing 3 times. Now all those people who say, no, but I just can't feel satisfied, I don't feel satisfied. So you'll never feel satisfied even if 100 times you wash. Some people go into the toilet and the tap never stops running. Cans upon cans, cans upon cans. So those are wasawis. Shaitan whispers, keeps on whispering. You're not yet Pak. So when will he become Pak? So one is our wasila, the wazu is a wasila. After that the person must make his namaz. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that was their characteristic. All of them. That whatever they were tasked to it, you'll find them accomplishing that. Perfection level, everybody, every Nabi of Allah. Then in every Nabi, you will find that they were full of shafqat and full of compassion, full of kindness and mercy. This you will find in every Nabi's life. irrespective of whom. So much so that one incident is mentioned in Masnavi Sharif also. Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam before being given Nubuwwat, they were made to graze the sheep. They were made to graze the sheep. Goat, cattle, they made to graze. Why? So that they may get tolerance, because animals are like that. That when you're grazing them, then you want all of them to get together, bring the flock together, one will run in this direction, one will run in that direction, one in that direction, or to bring them all together. So they are made to do that, to get tolerance. So once one goat, it ran, and it injured itself, it started bleeding too, but it just won't stop. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is running behind it. And finally when he catches up with it, he himself is injured, he's bleeding also. But then he passes his hand over that animal. And he says, if you didn't have pity for me, at least you should have had pity for yourself. Why did you cause yourself injury and pain? That kind of shafqat and muhabbat if they have for animals, what about human beings? And where is our shafqat and muhabbat? So every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at their shafqat, look at their muhabbat, look at their compassion, mercy, kindness. Their heart used to bleed for everybody. Any person's pain, injury, difficulty, hardship, then their heart used to bleed. They would do whatever was possible to remove the person's difficulty, compassion and kindness. We don't have this. We have become so used to pictures that appear in the newspapers, other poverty and of disasters and of homeless people and the kind of accidents and earthquakes and tsunamis and everything that at the most we say terrible, that's all. Just one word we'll make comment. Terrible accident finish. Let us be honest. Until that person is not known to us, do we feel that kind of pain? If we hear that in an accident, 100 people died. Plane crashed, 500 people, 200 people, 100 people died. Or train smashed, so many people died. And the picture is also there, so many people are lying on the ground, bleeding, head smashed, skull cracked, smashed bodies. So do we feel that same pain as we would feel if Khuda na khasta Allah forbid, if the person's own child or own wife or own father or mother was in that accident. If the person's own family member or somebody that's known, somebody that was dear and near, if that person was in that accident, then see how restless this person becomes. So of course there will be a degree of change. The situation is different. You won't have exactly the same. But still, to feel deep down in the heart, hi, what happened to this people? And then you say, Ya Allah, those who are believers amongst them, bless them with Jannat al-Firdaus. And even the others who had passed away, we don't know what their state was. To sympathize with their family members also. So this is what we are saying. Is that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, there was compassion. There was great compassion. Great amount of shafqat. Then the tahammul. The tahammul on the eza of others. Tolerance on the eza of others. By others. If an others give them takleef, cause them musibat, cause them pareshani, difficulty, hardship, pain and suffering. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there was a great amount of tolerance. It is only those people for whom islah has to be made that there will be reprimand, there will be shake up, there will be some kind of scolding because they want to see them improve their akhlaq and character. But otherwise, there's nothing but tahammul. Look at our mashayikh, look at our akabir. With strangers, with others, with everybody else. There's nothing but tahammul. They will take the pain upon themselves, but they won't like to cause anybody any injury and pain. But those who say we want to make islah, then it is like a person that is going to the surgeon and saying, I want to have the stones in my kidney removed. Gallstones, I want to have them removed. So now the surgeon says, no, don't worry, because if you have to have to remove them, or if you have to have a bypass, then we'll have to cut your chest, we'll have to do this, do that, so it's going to cause you pain. So therefore, don't worry about it, just leave it like that. So will that person ever recover? So the salik, or the person who says that I want to improve on my akhlaq, I want you to see from head to toe, and that is what the salik should be saying to his shaykh, that I want you to see me from head to toe, and these are my dealings, and this is my relationship with my family, with my children. Now tell me where I'm gone wrong, and even if I have to be reprimanded, I will take it to be some kind of sweetmeat, that I won't pack my bag and go. Then that person will have to be reprimanded if there is some mistake, some error. First of all, they will give sugar-coated pill. If that person can't understand what is sugar-coated, so then they'll give him some bitter pill. Because some people, the more sugar-coated you give them, the sugar goes high. That means the akhlaq becomes worse. Some people, if you give them sugar-coated, then their akhlaq becomes worse. Because they believe that there's nothing wrong. So they have to be given bitter pill after. Quinine. For malaria they give them. Really, really bitter. On the ship when we were coming from Bombay, and on the ship we had malaria, and they were given quinine. Really bitter. So some have to be given that. So the akhlaq of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, that they used to tolerate, they used to have great amount of forbearance. They used to take whatever pain others give to them, but they never caused others any kind of pain. They didn't want to see anybody suffer. They didn't want to see anybody harmed in any way. It was only when it was the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that life for life. So then they took, that life had to be taken. On the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even if the life had to be taken, they'll take it. But if it is not the hukam of Allah ta'ala to take, then there will be absolutely no question of them causing any kind of harm to anyone. It was only due if it was justified. So that was another very, very conspicuous quality of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. And then the seventh was that they had great yaqeen on Jannat. At present for us, Jannat is just information. We all talk about Jannat, but how many of us are really, really desirous of going to Jannat? I mentioned once, and I think it's 27th night here. I said it's the 27th night. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy, the rains are pouring. Now if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had to be sent, if he had to be sent by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and inform everyone that's now in this masjid, and the masjid was chock-a-block right up to the back there, so say if he has to come here and inform now and say that Allah ta'ala has sent me, just by way of example, Allah ta'ala has sent me to inform each and everyone that's here, or in all the other masajids that have congregated, but especially here, that each and every one has been promised Jannat. If they wish to go to Jannat, then at this very moment, I can tell Israel alayhi salatu wasalam to remove the soul and we'll go to Jannat. So now put your hands up, how many wish to go to Jannat right now? And then see how many put their hands up. If Israel al-Islam is also standing there, and you are promised Jannat, not Jahannam, and say, right now, all those who want to go to Jannat, but right now, they will say, but can't you give us time till tomorrow? I just want to sort out a few more things. My daughter's wedding is over the weekend, and we've got a bride on next week, and family is invited, and I've got some bank matters to solve. Each and every one of us will say, give us a little bit extension of time. And yet we are being promised Jannat direct from here. Direct flight to Jannat, but we won't take. That is our yaqeen on Jannat. That's our kind of love for Jannat and the ni'mats of Jannat and the bounties of Jannat, the lakes and the rivers and the streams and the greatest ni'mat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala didar. But we are not ready for it. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, ever ready for it. They had the yaqeen on Jannat that if you are going to obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and of course they were sinless masoom, that you go into Jannat. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were definitely going to go to Jannah. But they had that yaqeen on it. There was no question of any kind of doubt. They had absolutely no kind of a doubt. We'll stop there for tonight. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, then some in future. Next week there will be no program if Allah Ta'ala wills. Then Thursday I will hope to leave for Madina Sharif. I'm announcing it, other than it's not my habit to announce. But just to let people know that there will be no program, so they don't come from here and there and then become disappointed. So if Allah Ta'ala wills, we don't deserve to be at the Rauza Mubarak. We know where our feet have walked, what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hands have touched, whatever our minds have thought, and what kind of hurt, injury, pain we have caused others, and how much of hukuk of others we have trampled, and how much of rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we have trampled. We know our condition, what our hearts are filled with malice, greed, pride, arrogance, jealousy. We have made garbage bags of our hearts. So we don't deserve to be there. But we say, oh Allah, we know we don't deserve. But what is it that we have been deserved? Are we deserving of Iman and Islam? So the same when it comes to Tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif. Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge, ghalib sharm tumko magar nahi aati. How are you going to go to Kaaba Sharif? You heard this many times. Oh Ghalib, don't you feel ashamed? So Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Sahib changed. Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga, sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. I will go with the same face to Kaaba Sharif. I'm not going to be concerned about shame. But what will I do there? Ro ro ke unko manaunga. Bigdi apni yun banaunga. I will cry at the house of Allah Ta'ala. I will cling to the multazam. I will shed my tears of shame and nadamat there. I will ask Allah Ta'ala for purification of my heart. And I will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of my sins. And I will pledge and promise to return, fulfilling the rights of everyone. I will make dua there. For duas are most accepted there. Bigri apni yu banaun. So if Allah Ta'ala wills, so you make dua for me, Allah Ta'ala make it easy and make it maqbool and mabroor. And I will make dua for you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will become pleased with our cup. We can say we are extremely happy and we are extremely proud. But is he happy with our coming? If Allah Ta'ala wills, then my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Kimur, of course, Sawdham Barakatum will be there on Friday. Allah Ta'ala give him good health, long life, and make it easy for him to undertake the journey. So when a waliullah of that caliber is going to be there, and that is the only desire, to be in the company of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and these type of awliya-i kiram. Meri zindagi ka hasil, meri zist ka sahara, tere aashiqon mein jeena, tere aashiqon mein marna. Make dua Allah Ta'ala, bless us with maut of shahadat also in Madina Tayyibah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ma'in. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Akramal Akramin, Ya Allah. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali. يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim, Allah Kareem, most forgiving, most loving, most caring, most compassionate Allah. We are indeed the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. We are not deserving of any of your ni'mat and bounties. Whatever you have given to us is out of your kindness, your ihsan and your fazl. Mere Mawla, humare hal par raham farma. Where do we go, my Allah? There is no one else for us besides you. There is no other door that we can tap besides your door. My beloved Allah, make us yours and become ours. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us all with good health, long life, prosperity, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with your iqaat, and iqaat, and Nabi iqaat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mushko tama. Ay mere maula, meri madad kar, chahta hoon main teri pana. My beloved Allah, take us all to Madina Sayyidah. Bless us all with the ziyarat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with the tawaf of Baytullah. Ay Rabbi Kareem, make it easy for the entire ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make ziyarat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, hum gande hai mere Mawla. Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with jealousy, with envy. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa, whether it's in hospitals, clinics, homes, amongst us, bless everyone with shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach their destination safely. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties. With plenty full of halal risk. The ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the world is suffering. Ay Rabbi Kareem, remove the hardship, difficulty, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe. Bless everyone with hidayat, make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. Ay Rabbi Kareem, change the condition around the globe for poverty. Change the condition, my Allah, wherever disasters have struck, whether it is due to tsunamis or gale force wind or flood waters or earthquakes or tremors, or whatever is the cause of the suffering, Ay Rabbi Kareem, apne fazl o karam se unki pareshani ko dur farma. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirat. Safeguard us from the azab of qabr, the azab of hashar. Cause us to cross full sirat like lightning and enter into jannat without any regret. Bless us all with complete islah of nafs. Bless us with tazkiyah of our qulub. Ay Rabbi Kareem, humare hal par raham. اب تو رحم فرما ایک دن مرنا ہے آخر موت ہے. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram or shit. When the time of our death comes, take us to Medina Taiba. Bless us with shahadat in Medina Taiba. Bless us with burial in Medina. تمنا ہے گلزار مدینہ اب وطن ہوگا, وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوگا, بس اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی, وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گور و کفن ہوتا. گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ, تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا. اے رب کریم, bless us with all the goodness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, beg for us there's so much of that goodness. From all the mischief and corruption that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection to the ummah, protect us and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You are well aware of the good wishes and desires of each and every person who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. With your fazl, with your kindness and ihsan, fulfill their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardships, the pain and suffering of each and every individual. With your fazl, kindness and ihsan, remove the suffering, the hardship and the pain of each and every individual. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.